So we come to Daniel chapter 10. We went through the first 9 verses last week. This is an approach that seeks. And Daniel was very much one who was seeking the Lord. God had given him vision after vision after vision. And when we came to the beginning of this chapter, we see that Daniel was having his 4th vision. Daniel was able to receive this incredible ministry throughout the years of his life. And just to get us kind of reestablished with the context, because I think it's very, very important that we understand this. We're looking at a very, very interesting passage in Daniel 10. But let me reestablish the context. Daniel, if you remember from last week's study, he was sick to his stomach. He chose to stop eating. And he did this because God had given him a prophecy, a vision. And the things were concerning Israel's future. It was troubling to him. And we're going to see that that same context, I'll lay it up a little bit as we go through our study. But the whole rest of the book of Daniel really talks about, chapters 10 through 12, talk about Israel's future. And so the things that Daniel saw about Israel bothered him. It bothered him with his appetite. It bothered him with his physical well-being. He was exhausted. He chose to not do the ceremonial, not ceremony, but the ritual cleansing that the people of his time would do. They would anoint themselves. They would, since they didn't bathe like we do as often as we do, they would put on a lot of ointments or colognes and would make themselves look good. Rather, he chose to show externally what was taking place inside him, internally. And so we saw Daniel go through all of this and how he was exhausted and he couldn't hide his condition. We saw that it was a pre-incarnate Christ who came to Daniel and began ministering to him. And he was struck by that. He was in awe of that. And when all of these things were happening, those that were with him, and you remember we were threading in ministry principles. Hopefully we'll do some more of that today. In all of this, those that were around him fled. They were in fear for their life, and they fled, and Daniel faced it all alone. And we talked about how that is so common in ministry, and yet it's needed because then we lean on the Lord. We look to the Lord, and so that's really who Daniel had at that time, only the Lord. And that's really the way it's got to be for us in ministry. So that's the first 9 verses. A lot of prayer, a lot of humility, a lot of sickness. He's considering all of these things. And now he comes to, and we come to, verses 10 through 21. And this is an arrival that strengthens. We're going to see a change in Daniel. He's still exhausted, but there's going to be a strengthening that takes place. And in verses 10 and 11, we see that the strengthening comes with a comfort. And every one of these, hopefully you'll get to see, there's going to be these things that are existed in your life. But God always wants us to be strengthened. God always wants us to be in a better state. He always wants us to be in a better condition. And so we have to keep that in mind. And that's why when we were praying, I was praying, God, make sure that you give these people an extra measure of faith. Because you might not believe these things. You might say you're not deserving of these things. And all of those things are irrelevant when it comes to what God has planned and what God wants for us. Except for the fact that you can choose to receive it or not receive it. And so we need faith to say, God, I believe that you're here to bless me. I believe that you want to minister to me. So in verses 10 and 11, we see that there's a comfort that comes, and it starts off with him being touched. I'm going to read 10 and 11, and then we'll take a look at this. But listen how this is set up. It says, verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, and he made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was still, while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And so it starts off and there's this touch. Do you guys see the first word of the verse? At least in the New King James, it says suddenly. It's as if it was not expected. So when something happens suddenly, it means I wasn't expecting this. So Daniel's writing this and he says suddenly, not expecting to have any interaction, to have certainly an angelic being come to visit him. He says suddenly this takes place. Church, what is it that you expect to happen next in ministry for you? And I'll throw this out. Maybe you're like, you know, I haven't even thought about it. Good. Okay, good. Great. Okay, so now what are you expecting next to happen in ministry? Because a lot of times this kind of changes the way that you approach whatever you're going through. Like, is God going to give us more growth? Well, then we should be planning for that. Amen. We got a brand new looking wall, right? Almost complete. It's a work in progress like us, right? It's coming together, right? Maybe that'll make an impact. Maybe more people will come. I don't know. But when we go to the Lord and we say, God, what is it that you have next on the agenda? What's on the horizon, the near horizon, the far horizon? Let me plan for that. Jesus said, not my will, but your will. And we need to do the same. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What is it in your will? And then with all of these things, suddenly, the key word for us as we begin this is suddenly, are you expecting the blessings of God? Let me rephrase or restate this, maybe say it in another way. A lot of people don't expect God to bless them. And we have to go to passages that remind us of the weight of this statement is that God wants to bless you, and he does bless you. Ephesians 1:3 says, listen, it's past tense. You can go back and you can read the verse, but it says he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the question is, are you walking in it? Are you receiving that? Are you putting yourself in a position to really receive fully all these things that God has given to you and enjoy all of it? There was an Oregon man. His name is Stu McDonald, and he got cancer years ago, and he beat it. And then he got cancer again, and he beat it. And then it was just reported here in this month that he went out to buy a lottery ticket, and he won. $4.6 million, hit the jackpot, took an early payout, and you just don't know what God has on the horizon for you. Sometimes, like Daniel, it's going to be a test, a trial, a tribulation. But you have to understand, if you're taking notes, and I think this is important, 2 Corinthians 1:3-7, it says God will comfort us when? He'll comfort us in all tribulation. So if you've got cancer, or you've got some struggle at work, or you've got a marital issue, or a family issue, or whatever it would be. Listen, through any tribulation you're going through, it says that he is the God of all comfort, and he is here to comfort you through all, not through some, not most, not even a few, right? Through all tribulations. And so we're going to pray at the very end. If you want to come up for prayer, we're going to ask that you all get winning lottery tickets. We're going to anoint you with oil, right? Amen. Sometimes that makes things worse. So what happened next for Daniel? He says, suddenly, right? What happens next? A hand touched me, and it made me tremble. I want to just tell you this, and rather than give you a test or pop quiz, you know, this is an angel. It's different than the hand. It's different than the being, the person of Jesus Christ pre-incarnate in verses 5 and 6 of this chapter. We'll know this when we get to verse 13. If you want proof, stay tuned. So it says, this angel, this being came and touched him, which made him tremble on his knees and on the palms of his hands. He was so overwhelmed from all of this that he's been going through that he was on his hands and his knees. Listen, I've taught this before, and I'm not teaching it this way. I've taught this before that this was a posture of prayer. I don't think this is a posture of prayer. I think Daniel was broken. I think he was exhausted. I think it could be taught that way, but I don't see it that way. Not when I'm seeing this in context, and certainly not during this study. I see God saying, there are times where you're going to be broken down so much, you're going to be on your hands and your knees. You're going to be hurting. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be drained. You're going to be tapped out, and I'm going to have you in that position because it's then that I'm going to minister to you. It's then that I want to change your situation when you're overwhelmed. So tying this into last week, do you feel alone in ministry? Listen, ministry is not just from the pulpit, you know. It's not just behind a guitar. Ministry is everything that we do. As members of the body of Christ, we have ministries. As Christians, we have callings. And so the things that God has called us to, the things that stand before us that he has destined us and given us duties for and tasks, we need to understand this is ministry. And you have got to understand that it's going to be, sometimes you're going to have lonely times and you need to persevere. Don't despair. God's going to send you support. That's what you need to understand, that there are those times that you're going to be alone in ministry. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Just keep taking another step forward, because in due season, God's going to bless you for that. He's going to give you the rewards of all of your perseverance. And listen, church, listen, this is a good word, I think, for me, and I hope it is for you. Don't settle for pseudo or fake satisfactions in this world. Because my tendency is, I need some relief. I need some, that's my flesh crying. I need relief. I need relief. I'm broken. I'm on my hands and knees. God, I'm all alone. There's nobody else here with me. And God says, don't settle, Robert. Don't settle for something that's fake. I've got the genuine satisfaction that you need. Hang in there. Persevere. In due season, I'm going to give you a reward, and I'm going to bring along support. Wait for God to send his blessings to you. So how was Daniel comforted? Look at the verse 11. First, he's commended. Jason talked a little bit about this. Listen to what he is called here in this verse. He's commended here. In verse 11, he says this. And he, this angel, this angelic being, said to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved." We know that this is not the first time that Daniel's been called this. We saw in last chapter, he was also called the beloved. It's a rare term for a single individual to be called. It means man of preciousness, man greatly desired. And when we went through this in Daniel chapter 9, I'm not going to go through it all the way, but I want you to understand this. It's an incredible blessing of comfort that God is giving to Daniel as he feels alone, as he feels exhausted. If you feel so exhausted you can hardly get up, a lot of times you're not going to feel that good about yourself, right? And yet, it's at those times that God says, listen, you're precious to me. You know, a lot of times I'm more receptive to a compliment when I'm broken down. If I feel really good about myself, I'm like, of course. Like, yeah, you know, that makes perfect sense. But when I don't feel good about things, and unfortunately it seems like that's more often than not, God says, listen, I just want you to know, Robert, you're precious to me. You're greatly desired. I desire you, Robert. It doesn't matter what anybody else. Those who flee, like the previous part of this chapter, those who flee, Robert, it's okay. Listen, it's me and you. And I'm really the only one that matters, Robert. So in the midst of all of this, the Lord sends this message of comfort to Daniel. Daniel, you're greatly beloved. You're precious to me. You're so important to me. Listen, if you've never been rocked with a situation that you feel exhausted and alone, Would you just commit this to the Lord? Would you put it up on a shelf for future use? Just keep it there. Wait for that time that you're broken to the point you're like, there's no hope. And then pull that off. Come back to this chapter and understand that God says, you're precious to me. You're beloved. You are desired by me. It is interesting. 2 to 3 years earlier, Daniel chapter 9, that Daniel got the same message. You know what is interesting about this? He was praying in both situations. And I want you to understand it, because I think it opens up that cycle of communication where God can say, you are precious to me. I've been saying it to you, but you've been focused on the problems rather than focus on me. Now that you're focused on me, the gate's open. I'm going to start pouring into you. I believe it wasn't only because Daniel was praying, but I believe it was because he was completely devoted to doing God's will and bringing God glory. And that is precious in God's sight. And so God says, I want to make sure you understand this. I love you, Daniel. Not only did Daniel get commended, but he was also educated in the second part of verse 11. It says this. After he says, you're beloved, right? He says, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So this angel comes in. He says, Daniel, listen, I want you to understand. It's not just a commendation. It's also an education. I want you to understand things. There's things I'm going to speak to you about this vision that you need to have a handle on. You need to have a grasp on. And just to thread in an application for you, so you know, God doesn't give us messages or words without him wanting us to have comprehension. There are times where God will give you a word and you've got to work through it in order to get the explanation, but it shouldn't be forever. Are you guys with me? Sometimes he wants to draw a little more prayer out, but it's not going to be forever. He wants his words to be understood. And so he comes to Daniel. Daniel's been fretting. He's been working through this, right? He's exhausted. And now comes that education. If you ever get an ambiguous message from the Lord, seek him out and you'll get, listen, if it's from the Lord, seek him out and you'll get the answer. You'll get the explanation. If you don't get the explanation, you might want to grab your brothers or sisters in Christ and say, would you pray with me about this? Because I got this message. I don't know what to do with. Maybe it's from the Lord or maybe it's not. And then you test it. If you're doing the biblical math here, if you will, the connections, 1 Corinthians 14 says, when a prophecy is shared, let two or three judge. Okay? Prophecy is not to go without being judged. And so if you do get a vision, if you do get a revelation, if you get a prophecy from God, there's no answer, then you go to two or three and you test that prophecy. God always wants there to be an explanation and a comprehension. And so I'm skeptical if somebody says they've got a word, but they haven't heard the answer. There's always going to be an answer. Do you understand? God's not in the business of messing with our minds. So how are we to receive the messages from God? Listen to what Daniel was told. This angel comes to him. He says, I want you to understand this, but first, stand upright. Now, we know physically he's there on his hands and knees, but God is telling him something, and I think it's to us. We can kind of take it a little bit more to our walks. Is God wants us to be upright. He wants us to be standing and facing him. He wants us to be not skewed, but upright. He wants us to be straight. He wants us to be holy. And then this angel says, for I've been sent to you. The angelic being says, specifically have I been commanded to come to you. So church, know that there's times that you and I need to hear from God and we need help from God, and he's going to send angels his servants rather to assist with us. So just know it's coming. Daniel goes on and he says, while he was speaking to me, I stood trembling. Daniel admits that he was just, it says the word speaks is, I always want to make a joke when I hear things like that. When he speaks, sometimes it sounds like a mighty rushing wind. Anyways. But it says, Daniel says, while he was speaking to me, I stood trembling. And Daniel admits that he was just trembling. It means he was unstable. The word is used to describe what happens when you're in an earthquake. And sometimes, like, your footing, like, you can kind of roll with it, but your footing gets rocked a little bit. If you're not near the epicenter. If you're near the epicenter, it could be really shaky. And that's kind of what it's talking about here, is that it's something of being, I don't feel very stable in all of this, is what Daniel's saying. So now Daniel he's strengthened with comfort, and he's also strengthened with a confirmation, verse 12. If you follow along as I read, it says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you sent your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Pretty interesting thing. Now listen, I want you to tell you what we're now beginning to see is that there's spiritual warfare going on. Daniel now has this understanding and this revelation that there's spiritual warfare going on. If you want to hang up another passage, we're not going to go through, but I'll kind of refer to you. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha had a servant, and you guys know this, when we were going through spiritual warfare, Elisha's servant walks out and he sees the Syrian army, and they're all around on the mountains around, and he says, we're encompassed, we're surrounded, there's no hope. And Elisha says, Lord, would you please open his eyes? And then all of a sudden, like, the spiritual eyes open up, and he sees these angels all around, which far outnumber the Syrian army. And he says, okay, we're in good hands. So I want you to understand, this is a passage where you actually get not a glimpse quite like that, at that 2 Kings 6 passage, but you and I are being given an explanation into the spiritual realm in this chapter. And so the confirmation that he says here, he says, Daniel, don't fear. It was his greatest need at this time, and he had fear. And so you know what takes away fear? 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love. When you feel and sense perfect love, which can really only come from Christ, all of your fears fall away. I'll tell you this, if you and I experience fear, and this is one of those convicting scriptures for me, if I'm going through some sort of a fearful episode, it's usually because I haven't gone and entrusted myself into the love of God. When I've got Jesus Christ's love, then it's like, you know what? Everything is going to be just fine. So he says, this angel comes in. He says, listen, don't fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The angel shares that his intent was to come to Daniel from the very beginning. Listen, I'm going to thread in some of our study from the spiritual warfare series. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So, church, we need to be those like Daniel who had set our hearts to understand the Lord and his word to us, and it's something that the Lord is honored in. Now, the other issue that Daniel's going through is his prayers being heard. He's been praying for a time. We're going to get a little bit more insight in the next verse here. But do you ever lack confidence in your prayers being answered or being heard? If you're honest, you're going to say, of course, I do. We should be confident. We see in this scripture there should be a pursuit, setting our hearts to understand. There should be power to pray, and there should be a promise to be heard. Sometimes there's delays in getting our prayers to be answered, and this is the conflict we see in verse 13. Listen to what happens. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This angelic being says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now listen, before we get into this verse, I just want to now tie this into earlier when I was saying this is an angelic being that is suddenly touching Daniel. The reason why I know it's an angelic being is because Jesus Christ does not need help from Michael the archangel. He's there to help Michael, not Michael to help him. And so it says in this verse that this angel who's speaking and touching Daniel says, I needed Michael to come and help me. God doesn't need our help or an angel's help. So you guys understand, that's about the quickest way I could give you my explanation of why I know this is an angel. So the angel gives Daniel further understanding on why he was delayed and into the spiritual realm. It says, the prince of Persia. These are spiritual beings. They're angelic beings, but they're from the demonic realm. And so when we were going through our series on spiritual warfare, we talked about it. There's definitely a spiritual realm. And demons exist there. And the leader of the demons is Satan. So let me elaborate again. These are not angelic beings. They're demonic entities. And I believe, you can wrestle this out yourself. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe there are angelic beings, demons specifically, who are assigned to geographic locations. This is the prince of the kingdom of Persia. I think this is an angelic being, a demonic being, that is given government in a demonic realm to that area. In other words, he's going to cause as much chaos, as much problems, as much sin to that particular area. So I'll just tell you this. Again, you guys wrestle this out. I'm just telling you my explanation when I come to this. But I remember going to San Francisco years ago when the girls were really young. And I remember being up on a hill and seeing San Francisco. And discernment, the check in my spirit. I don't know if you guys have ever had that, where you come across something and you're like, man, there is something demonic out there. And it was bad. It was at night. There was like a fog, you know, over San Francisco, as there often is. But I just remember being like, what is over there I don't want to have anything to do with? And I don't know how to explain it to you. You can wrestle this out yourself. I'm just telling you, I believe that there are entities that are around particular geographic areas. This is the way that I interpret this passage. This is the way I'm teaching this passage. And this is the way that I believe, not just with this passage, I believe that it exists there. That's why I believe it's so powerful when a group of believers begin praying. And when you suspect that there is some sort of demonic, maybe you don't believe the same that I do. Maybe it's not that there's a governing demon over that area, but there are demons around. So if you don't believe that he's given, or you know, that particular location, there could still be something demonic there. And you know what you do? You just surround it in prayer. you do prayer walks. You walk around that area and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And I'm telling you, it starts changing things. This angel that's suddenly touched Daniel says, "The prince of Persia, he's withstood me 21 days. Daniel, you've been praying for 21 days, and I heard you from the very beginning. You know, I was sent to you. I was specifically commanded to come see you 21 days ago. But there is one who stood opposite, took a stand against me, and held me back until Michael came and freed me up." Church, listen, big, huge principle for you. Delay does not mean denial in our prayers. It's important for us to understand the purpose of prayer. It's not to get our will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. And so we need to go to God and we need to pray. And he's going to give us one of three answers. This is the way God answers prayer. 100% of the time, it's one of these three answers. He'll say yes in an affirmative, or no in a negative, or wait. And that's what it is. Wait, wait. He might say no later, but wait, wait, wait. Or he might say yes. A wait doesn't mean a future yes, okay? It could be either way, but it's yes, no, or just wait, keep praying. And so the spiritual warfare, it's heavy, and we need to continue. Even though there's a delay, don't think that it's not going to take place, that God's not going to hear you and he's not going to answer you, because he will. Wish I was better at this. I don't know about you. I wish I could pray more determined and more purposeful and more believing that God, I want the fast food prayer. I want to go in, I want to order. And you know, I went into a drive-thru not too long ago, and I was so irritated. It took them it seemed like 20 minutes to get my food. And I thought drive-thrus are supposed to be quick, right? Like, anyways, I'm not telling you where it's at because I like the place too. It's just, church, when it comes to prayer and it comes to spiritual warfare, I want you to understand this too. This is one of those things you got to receive in faith. We fight from victory, not for victory. But we still have to fight. We fight from victory. We've already got the victory. Now fight from it, right? Not for victory. You already have the victory. And so this angel comes in. He says, "But Michael, one of the chief princes, he came and he helped me, for I've been alone there with the king of Persia." Just real quick, I'm just going to kind of drop this in for you guys as we go through the next couple of chapters. Verse 21, this is the first time Michael is mentioned in the scriptures. And he's called your prince, speaking of Israel. It's kind of interesting, like you've got a prince of Persia, right? But you've got Israel's prince, Michael. So it's almost as if there's a good angel kingdom that is saying, Michael, you're over Jerusalem. You're over Israel. This is your place, and take care of it. And he's bad to the bone too. He's good. All right. He's, you know, are you guys with me? I know that's contrary, but he's a good, bad to the bone guy, you know, angel. Anyways, he's going to be mentioned again in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, where it's going to talk about the great tribulation, and he's going to be involved with that. In Jude 1:9, he's called the archangel, which is the highest order of angels. And also Revelation 12:7, there's a reference to him where he's going to wage war and defeat the dragon and his angels. So this is the warrior angel. Alan Redpath said, "The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And we need to go into our walks with that understanding." So Daniel's strengthened with comfort. We talked about that. He's got confirmation. There's conflict. And then we also see there's a comprehension in verse 14. It says, verse 14 says, this angel says, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." So this angel says, this is my primary purpose, is that you would understand Israel's future. And this is going to be elaborated upon in Daniel 11 and 12. So what we're going into now is, hey, listen, this is what's happening in Israel's future. Multiple times in chapters 8, I know I'm saying 10 and 12, but chapters 8 is really where it begins. It starts talking about Israel's future. The majority of them are chapters 10 through 12, but it's over and over. The end times, the appointed time of the end, the many days in the future, even the end will be the war. These are all like references until the end time, at the end time, at the appointed time, in the end. The end is still to come at the appointed time. Over and over and over, we're going to see Daniel being giving this message, and that is what is going to happen to Israel in the latter days. It goes on through the whole rest of the book. Verses 15 and 17 through 17 talk about a confession. So Daniel's, you know, we've talked about that. He's pretty exhausted here. Let's see what he says. He says, "When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and I became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, 'My Lord, because the vision of my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is there any breath left in me.'" So Daniel's just, he's confessing, he's admitting, hey, you know, I'm exhausted. The angel comes again and he touches him a second time. Multiple times in scriptures it says that the Lord will send his servants and the servants will have their lips touched for multiple reasons. I've got to teach you about this. Isaiah 6:7, he's going to touch our lips and our mouth so we can be cleansed. And then we speak. It's always touching our lips and then we speak, but it's for different purposes. Isaiah 6:7, there's a cleansing. Jeremiah 1:9, Ezekiel 3:27, he touches us and gives us word and then we speak. And I think it's appropriate because if God's going to give us a special word for somebody, sometimes it'll be a cleansing and then you speak. Sometimes he's going to give you the words and then you're going to speak. Ezekiel 33:22, he releases your muteness. So sometimes you're like, I can't speak. And then he just touches you and then you begin speaking. Luke 1:64, sometimes your tongue is loosed and then you begin speaking. This is a good one too. Luke 21:15, sometimes God gives you wisdom to speak. May God give us wisdom to speak at all times. Amen? You ever say something stupid? How about yesterday? Amen? We need wisdom to speak. Lord, touch my lips that I might speak with wisdom. So Daniel's so fatigued. And then he has his mouth touched and he says, "Then I opened my mouth and I spoke." And after all of this, he begins speaking. So what does he say in verse 7? He says, "This is overwhelming to me, the sorrows." There's a twisting and turning. It's like a labor pain. I'm just going through this. And it's so bad, he says, "My breath is taken away." I bet you a woman who's given birth, gone through labor, can tell you what it's like to lose your breath in labor. And that's kind of like what Daniel's saying here is, I'm so overwhelmed. I've got such anxiety here. I can't even breathe. You ever lost your breath? I've had people when I was a little boy, I remember playing in a pool and a bigger kid put me under and kept me under and brought me up just enough to get a breath and put me back down. And I remember I came up crying. You know, I was anxious. I didn't know. I thought I'm going to die, you know. As a little boy, what else are you going to think? I can't get air. This guy keeps me down. He thinks it's funny. I'm dying here, you know. It's a funny thing. When you get your breath taken from you, you get incredibly anxious. You're nervous. You're worried for life. And that's kind of what Daniel's saying. He says, "It's so bad. I'm out of breath." That's not a funny thing to be out of breath, you know. So what happens when Daniel says, "I'm out of breath"? The angel touches him again. And it's different. There's a connection spoken of in verses 18 and 19. Listen to what happens. It says, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man, the angel, he touched me and he strengthened me. And he said, 'O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong.' So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened." And he said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." There's this connection now. This angel's now touched him. This is the third time in this passage. In 9 verses, Daniel's touched 3 times. 33% of the time, Daniel's being touched by an angel. This is a pretty impressive thing that's taking place. The first touch was when he was alone. You're not alone. And God sends his servant to touch him. I think sometimes God will want to touch us through servants, through his spirit, and say, "Listen, you're not alone." The second time, he was speechless. So the angel came and touched him, and he began speaking. Now this third time, he's touched again, and he's strengthened. He was without strength. Now he's got strength. I think it's very important that you'd understand that Daniel's need at this point in time, even though this is rapid fire, his needs are being met multiple times. And now he needs strength. And God says, I'm sending my angel. He's going to touch you and you're going to get strengthened. Church, listen. Listen to this. Let me use a 21st century term. Listen to the upgrade here, okay? Right? Listen to the upgrade here. In Daniel's time, which was pretty impressive, an angel came and touched him, and then touched him, and then touched him. Don't seek the touching of an angel. Seek the Holy Spirit. He has come to dwell within us. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need strengthening. I need to be able to speak. I need to know that I'm not alone. Come and minister to me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come now, reside in me. Dwell in me. Let me sense your presence. Listen, that's pretty cool in the Old Testament, but we're in a different dispensation now. The Spirit has been given to the church. Back then it wasn't. So an angel's touch, that's pretty powerful. It's pretty cool, and it reads and it preaches pretty good. But listen, there's something so much better. And you're not dealing with a created being and an angel. You're dealing with the Creator, the Holy Spirit. So Daniel is encouraged. And this angel comes and he says, as he touches him, he says, oh man, greatly beloved. Remember, again, there's that message to him. You're precious and you're desired. And he says to him, fear not and peace be to you. Daniel's given this commendation that he's precious. And then he says, listen, I want you to have peace as well. And then he says, I want you to be strong. Yes, be strong. Same message, very similar message given to Moses, Joshua, the nation of Israel, and Solomon. This is not far-fetched for God to say to his servant, I want you to be strengthened. Yes, I want you to be strong. Because most of the time, I feel pretty weak. I don't know about you. So when he spoke this to me, Daniel says, I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak. Angels speak, for you have strengthened me. I know you've come. There's something dynamic that just happened to me. I feel strengthened, and now I need to hear what you have to say for me. Have you ever felt strengthened when being given a word from the Lord? It's amazing. Listen, it's amazing how strengthening and how encouraging God's prophetic word is. Don't turn there for the sake of time. I'm going along. I'm almost done. I just have a couple more verses, so stay with me, okay? Listen, write down in your mind or on your piece of paper, write down 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. Listen, I want you to know how encouraging, how comforting, how strengthening a prophetic word is. And in these verses, it says this. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies, he speaks edification, which is building up, exhortation, which means summoned for strength, and comfort, calming and consoling to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I always say this when I go through this passage and I talk about prophecy. May God grant us prophets in this church. Because you edify, you build up, you exhort, you summon strength, and then you comfort, you console. And we need a lot of that. The last two verses, we see that there's a contention, verses 20 and 21. It says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So verse 20 talks about a spiritual battle continuing. He talks about the prince of Persia. He says, listen, this battle, it's over with the prince of Persia. We've got victory, but there's another battle coming. And it's the prince of Greece. The prince of Persia will be overthrown. And then there's Greece that's going to come, a new demon to contend with. And he says, listen, Daniel, listen. We'll end with this. He says, Daniel, look to the word of God. Look to the scripture of truth. The world will feed you all kinds of things they say is truth, but there is one truth, and that is the eternal word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures. And church, may we heed the counsel given here and look to God in his word for the confirmations in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray.